This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 140, Pokemon and Bullies. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on a beautiful Friday. It's time for Games at Work with my wonderful co-host, Phaedra.
Hey, Michael. How are you today?
I'm doing peachy keen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We've got a great show today.
We do. And our other co-host, Michael, is flying around somewhere up in the... Is it the stratosphere or is he down like... What sphere is he in?
unsure.
Well,
but hopefully safe.
Yes. And speaking of spheres, both he and I found this great post today where Pokemon is coming out as a new app for Android and iOS, and it's a AR app where you take the camera in your phone and you actually project on the screen the Pokemon experience so that two people playing in a field can see their Pokemons actually battle it out in that field for real.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Have you tried this out?
I haven't tried it yet, and I was going to wonder because I was never a Pokemon person. But we on last week's show, we spent a lot of time talking about different AR and VR apps and how they were coming together. And I know you have a little kid who might actually play Pokemon.
Yes, he's very into it, and it's amazing how pervasive that brand is. But we haven't tried the AR version yet.
Well, you know, it's kind of insidious, right? The whole idea is you got to collect them all.
I know.
And I can just imagine them taking this game and putting hot spots in the real world and allowing you to like overlay something and tie it into the game and then say, hey, if you go to the... Chuck E. Cheese's, you'll get a special Pokemon ball. And so they can play in stuff with other brands and really kind of suck you into that whole ecosystem.
Do you know of any other brands who are really doing the same sort of thing?
Not really engaging stuff. There was an application, and we were trying to figure this one out last week, that years ago, like 2008, 2009, was doing an AR overlay of maps. It was like Yelp or one of those apps, and you would be able to take up and lift up your phone and just scan the horizon, and based off of your geolocation information, the camera position, etc., it would overlay restaurant pop-ups and reviews. So you'd say, oh, 2 miles up ahead, there's a 3-star burger joint. Or 500 feet on the right, there's, you know, a 5-star burger joint.
That's nice. At least you know if you're pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, especially if you're in an unfamiliar place and you're walking around trying to find something for dinner, right?
Yeah.
It was a great idea, but nothing like this. I mean, this is a really interesting gaming overlay. And I was thinking about what we've seen with Microsoft's HoloLens and what we've seen with some of the demonstrations, or at least the videos that they've shown for Magic Leap, right?
Yeah.
That they're trying to get things that kind of engage the real and the augmented world together into something that's more interesting. And so as a Pokemon person, I can imagine this would be extremely compelling.
I do not doubt it. I'll have to show my son and get his review.
Yeah, well, I was going to say at the next show, we need to have a full detailed report on how engaging this was and how much more money you have just spent on buying additional Pokemon.
Thanks a lot.
And since it's iOS and Android, you know, there's no excuse. You can do it on either platform.
That's true.
But I was going to get out my BlackBerry.
And see if it worked there, huh?
Yeah, it's just too funny. I think this, you know, if this really does take off, I think it will usher in a whole new era of these kind of immersive, engaging games where people can take advantage of that overlay. And like I said, because you could have two players both at different sides of a field, which, you know, I've seen I guess, cartoons, right? And, you know, one gets on one side of the field, the other one gets on the other side of the field, and they throw the little balls down, the balls morph into some little critter, and they battle it out. You could have that exact same type of experience just holding your phone up in front of your face.
Yeah. And do you think, in your estimation, do you feel like the Pokemon world in AR is much more powerful than the notion of a Pokemon world in VR?
Yeah, I do. And the reason I do is because as a child, you kind of imagine things and you take your own world and you imagine stuff in it. I remember as a little kid, one of the big imaginations that I always had was, you know, running down the sidewalk. And I knew if I just jumped a little bit further, I would start flying.
Aww.
You know?
And, that's really cute.
And it's fun because if you think about it, I know Douglas Adams had this great quote in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and he goes, you know how you fly, right? You throw yourself at the ground and miss. Now, I didn't read that till much later. But it makes so much sense. It's perfect. I really understand that whole concept.
But you kept not missing. You're still waiting to miss.
What's up with that? Anyway, so if any of our listeners are big Pokemon people and can check this out when it comes out, I think that would be really, really great to get some feedback from them, too.
Agreed.
So you found this article this week from Gamasutra talking about some of the stuff going on at Riot?
Yes. Apparently Riot Games, makers of League of Legends, posted some very, very interesting and compelling research regarding cyberbullying. And I've been privy to a number of conversations, I would say, in the last few months about evolutions in technology that can address cyberbullying. So this was especially exciting to me. What they did in their research was they were watching employees, Riot employees' behavior in their own game, in League of Legends. And the more caustic their employees were in the game, the more impacted their toxicity score was. So they had some level of measure to gauge in an automated fashion whether the employee was really being caustic to other players or not. And then they went and gauged whether those employees who were misbehaving in the online game, how they treated others within the workplace, and how were they as employees. And so they found a one-to-one correlation. So if you were being a jerk in League of Legends, you're also most likely being a jerk within the workplace. And so they're playing around with this idea of potentially flagging employees with the toxicity score from online games and flagging them to see, you know, if that this could be a criteria that is gauged to ensure employment or not.
Very interesting. So basically what they learned is jerks are jerks no matter where they are.
Exactly. Absolutely true. And it's very interesting. I think as the conversations about what to do regarding cyberbullying progress. There's a number of ways of looking into automating using cognitive computing, artificial intelligence to gauge, okay, is someone being a jerk online? Let me flag it and let me tell the community manager, hey, this person's being a jerk, go do something. The onus for that kind of a solution is on the shoulders of a community manager because they have to go and reach out to the person, threaten to boot them out or go ahead and boot them out or manage the conversation, right? Whereas you have something like a toxicity score, you know, that's transparent, that can actually go from platform to platform, like a common ledger where others might be able to access it, so that if you're a jerk in an online game, you can actually know if you're on other game platforms whether that person's a jerk in other games. You know what I mean? So in this way, it's almost like giving the community the ability to self-regulate through transparent data.
Well, it'd be interesting to see, because I read the related article over on Rework. It'd be interesting with your comment of taking it between platforms, if there is a different definition of toxicity depending on the game. So, for example, if you're in a first-person shooter, there's a lot of, you know, talk and braggadocio and other things that you do. I'm going to take you down. I'm coming around the corner. Right? Which would be very different from something like working on a major quest in something like Warcraft, right? Where you're trying to figure out how to take down the boss together. So if the gameplay is designed to be one-on-one confrontational versus more collaborative, I wonder how that would relate in a toxicity score.
I love that question. That's a really, really good point. Does the nature of the communication between people change based on the mission or the quest? PvP versus collaborative gameplay. And if, you know, does the language, the context of the language, do you need to take that into account as you're figuring out the algorithm?
Yeah, especially if you carry it across games.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's interesting because these were all people who worked at Riot and who also played Riot's games, and they found this correlation. They don't say how highly correlated it is, but they do find a correlation. And I'm wondering if you know, as you start talking about cognitive systems and you pull in data from all different other environments, I wonder if you looked at the emails, right, or their instant messaging inside of the office or Slack or whatever, right, what calls they were on. They found out that they just got chewed out from their boss, and they went online, they played League of Legends for a while, and they just were really sarcastic and lots of vitriol in their discussions, right? Maybe that's highly correlated because they just had a crappy day.
Yeah, I saw the part in the article where they said, okay, they took about 30 employees who were the worst in terms of toxicity.
Yep.
And they pulled them aside and they said, hey, here's evidence. You were being a real jerk online. And by the way, we've got this research that says you're probably being a jerk at the workplace too. So if you don't shape up, you know, you're going to be blacklisted. And they were saying that those 30 people gave promises. And some of them even wrote essays saying, well, you know, they were shocked and they were appalled by their own behavior.
I am so appalled by my own behavior. I am shocked, I tell you, shocked.
That's interesting. It's interesting.
I'm going to just go and write an essay.
It just makes you wonder. So if people know, if it's transparent what people's toxicity score is, does that alone, and what percentage of people will that alone get them to modify their behavior? Or does it need to be something like you just lost your job or you've been banned from this other site because you're a jerk in League of Legends?
Yeah. I think that's really fascinating. And I do think the larger context. But if you're a jerk consistently over time, either you don't like working at Riot anyway, so you're just being a jerk at work too, or you're just a jerk. Yeah. So very cool. I'm wondering what other places where this could come in, you know, customer service desks.
Well, in a show that Michael and I did a few weeks ago, we were talking about some very interesting research that was being published by the National Institute of Health about an artificial intelligence that can gauge mental illness based on what people were writing. So in the written word, if you would write a paragraph, it would gauge, okay, here's a likelihood of psychotic behavior or narcissistic, or which is, I mean, it's really fascinating. So you sort of, you layer that on top of toxicity score, and you start to mine data, not just in chat logs from online games, but social media, emails between employees, conversations that are recorded with customer service. I mean, you can imagine all the data that's being aggregated, that can be aggregated about a person to gauge mental wellness or toxicity or what kind of a bad apple that might be. it's kind of like Gattaca, right? Except not with the physical aspects. I'm sorry?
Not with your genes?
Not with the genes, but like the, I guess the online footprint and the communication footprint versus your actual, you know, fingerprint or genes.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. And matter of fact, I was listening to a story on NPR yesterday, and I'll try to find a link and throw it in the show notes, about the future of work. And the whole basic idea of the story was the future of work looks a lot like a brown truck. And they were talking about the number of sensors and the data points that UPS has been using for years and years on how they're constantly eking out, you know, if I can cut 1 minute out of the day across my 500,000 workers, it saves me X millions of dollars a year and all this other stuff. And the whole idea of the guy that they were interviewing was a driver. And he was talking about, you know, the different sensors on the truck that could tell, you know, if they speed up and slow down too much, do they do harsh braking? How long are they taking to get out of the truck and getting something to the door, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, you know, I'm an old guy and I feel like he's a little bit big brother, but all the younger guys who work here, they don't mind it at all. You know, if you just do what the computers tell you, everything's fine.
Wow, that's funny.
It's a really, really interesting story. I'll try to find the link and put it in the show notes for our listeners.
Please do, please do.
So what games are you playing lately?
Oh my goodness, I really haven't had a chance except for playing with my kids. That's it. Just whatever they play is what I end up playing these days.
Well, I got to see the World of Warcraft movie last night.
Oh, yes, I saw your post. How was it?
I really enjoyed it. Now, they said there was a kind of a 3+ hour cut of the movie that they had to chop down to make it 2 hours for the theater. And knowing a lot of the lore of the game and the background and everything else, a lot of stuff I just knew. I'm not sure if you didn't know any of that stuff, how much you would like the movie or not. But it's a good fantasy, hack-em-slash, good guys, bad guys movie. Okay, take that as a foundation. Add on to it some incredible CGI and special effects that were really, really awesome. Beautiful scenery across lots of different things. And, you know, a decent story. So I really enjoyed it. There were little things in it that if you were a gamer of WoW, you would catch, like, there's a group of the knights, they're riding through the forest at one point, they're going after some orcs, okay? I won't give much more beyond that. And when they do that, they see, or they drive, they ride by, and in the background, you see this rock obelisk with a symbol on it. Now, most people wouldn't have a clue, but what that really is, if you play the game, is that's a summoning stone for a dungeon instance.
That's funny.
Yes, and there are lots of little things like that in the movie that if you play the game, you'd love.
That's really cool. I guess the only correlation I can make is I watched the movie Pixels recently, which came out some time ago.
Oh, I love that movie.
That was cute. It was cute with Adam Sandler. It was very cute. Yeah,
that was fun. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank everybody for all the feedback they've provided recently. And don't forget to drop us a note, or what we'd really like is go to iTunes or the Google Play Store, where we're now also available, and rate the show. We'd appreciate it.
Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. See you next time.
Bye. Bye. You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.